Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As we start a new hour here, we have to acknowledge the greatest cameo maybe in the history of Get Up. Dominique, what exactly happened here?
I'm tired of working from home. I need to come back in the studio. It's all I learned from watching this is I need to be in studio.
Can you identify the cameo?
That's my son there. Supposed to be homesick, but clearly feeling fine.
He's homesick or he's homesick, one way or the other. He's now been captured on national television. He's not as sick as he thinks. All right, good fun to be had here. We welcome you back
that.
To another hour of Get Up. We are live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, basketball center stage. These guys ready to knock down some threes. Celtics and Bucks was game four last night, and it was the game of the night in the NBA. Let's roll it. Can we see it? Give me the Celtics and the Bucks, and there it is. We got Giannis at home, and a big one. We got Marcus Smart turning it over, and this winds up being a big moment in the game, Legs, because Giannis is going to dunk on Al Horford, and Horford is not going to take kindly to it.
Yeah, and Horford didn't even get up in the air. He understood he got there late, so he stood down, let Giannis have it. Look at the head nod. Al said, okay, is that kind of party? That's fine.
Yeah, Giannis had 34 and 18, but look, JJ, it's Horford returning the favor.
This felt personal. This is as emotional as I've seen Al Horford. The little elbow shimmy, whatever that was, to the face, he got a technical foul. But his game in the fourth quarter, pick and pop, just gave the Milwaukee Bucks so much problems.
And Legs, he can do it from the outside as well.
How much has the game changed since I retired? Well, you got your center running to the three-point line and fanning out on a fast break. But Al Horford and Tatum both were sensational down the stretch.
Yeah, Horford had 30. Meanwhile, look at this. The action is on one end of the floor. Marcus Smart and Giannis are on the other. Horford would wind up knocking it in. He was 11 of 14 in the game. But look, they're still back there.
That's the most awkward part of the whole thing. I'm not sure what's going on. It's a bad twister game. And finally, Giannis says, you know what, man, I'm good. And Marcus says, go ahead. Stay there. I don't care.
Now, a minute later, Celtics up four. They needed Jason Tatum to be big, and JJ, he was.
He was aggressive all night, but between him and Al Horford, that's what was able to close out the game for the Celtics. This one right here, little step through, flip up, off glass. That's just tough shot making.
Tatum had 30. He and Horford combined for 28 in the fourth quarter. Celtics even up the series at two games apiece after Horford on the little bit of bad blood.
I don't really know what he said to me, but the way he was looking at me and the way that he was going about it really didn't sit well with me. And at that point, I think just something switched with me in the game.
At the end of the day, like, I know what the deal is. The team knows what the deal is. We got to go to Boston and try to win a game. Now, no matter what I feel, it doesn't really matter. Emotions are for movies, you know, not for basketball.
All right, so look, I mean, whether it did or it didn't, it certainly turned that way in that moment. Boston outscoring Milwaukee by 14 after Giannis got the tee. Horford outscored Giannis in that span, including, of course, the dunk that we all saw. And look, you guys have both played playoff basketball. I mean, the role that emotion can play in these things. I might sit here saying, look, it's game four. Your season's basically on the line. The Celtics can't need any more motivation than that. But sometimes these in-game things, they do tend to swing on moments like that.
Well, you can't allow emotion to get the best of you. You have to use it as a positive. So Al Horford gets emotional. He goes 6 for 6 in the fourth quarter. Mm. So there's an incredible amount of concentration and focus to go with that emotion. And yes, that play certainly fueled him, and it certainly fueled the Celtics the rest of the game.
And Giannis got a T on that, by the way, after the little mean mug there and whatever words it were that were spoken. Horford said after we didn't even hear what he said, but one way or another, he clearly didn't like it, Legs.
Yeah, he flexed up on him. He gave him a little something, a little head nod, scowled at him. It was enough for the officials to call a T. That's obviously something that gets T's in modern basketball. You see more of that now, and it did. And Al Horford responded to his credit. But look, bottom line is this. He had to have some help with what opportunities were presented for him by spotting up, making threes. So it's one thing if, like, one of those top-tier offense creators, those one-on-one guys, a KD or a LeBron or a Steph Curry, right, they have someone talk to them, and now they've got the ball to go, right? They can just go work on somebody. Al Horford still had to take advantage of opportunities that were presented, but he got himself in a great place mentally. He was laser-focused to knock down those shots.
I keep watching this play, and I continue to wonder, and look, I'm all for it, all right? I'm older than either of the two of you. I'm all for all of this little bit of tension and all. I mean, to me, I think that adds something, and there's nothing obviously terrible happening out there. But in the league, just the little elbow that Horford throws at the end of this play there, JJ, he gets a technical. I do wonder, in the world in which we live today, if that's not something that on the off day, someone is saying we need to look at.
There may be a phone call or two, but ultimately, I think whether they change it to a flagrant one or keep it as a technical, a point is a point in the playoffs. I don't see that being a flagrant two that they would upgrade.
I don't think they do either, and I think it looked a lot worse to me in real time, right? It looks so bad.
Right.
And then you see the replay, and you can see Al Horford's not even really looking in that direction. I mean, his arm kind of flails about. The fact, JJ made a good point earlier, the fact that Al Horford didn't look at the damage that he had done, he just kept looking at the crowd. Maybe he knew, oh man, I caught him with a bow. I'm just going to look right here, right now, right? Because I think if he even glances at Giannis Antetokounmpo, maybe you're right.
That's a good job of taking the graphic down. I'm glad that we did that. You get a more complete look at it. Again, I'm not an – please, no one say Greeny suggests Al Horford should be suspended. That's the last thing on earth I think should happen. But I feel like we've seen – I mean, that's it's after the play, he kind of throws it out there.
Legs,
I don't know.
Legs, question for you. The Giannis taunt and then this play, are either of those anything in the 90s?
Oh, in the 90s? Are you kidding me? I remember several times, JJ, shooting free throws with cotton balls sticking out of my nostrils because of the blood that was pouring, and it was nothing more. Obviously, they weren't even taking a look at that stuff. It was adjust your spine, check your fillings, put the cotton in, and make your free throws.
Oh, I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, in the 90s, that would have been someone would have said something to Horford about why he didn't hit him harder.
And actually, you know what? The technical that Giannis got, people would have been criticizing Horford for not going. Down because of that.
Very quickly, I allowed it to get sidetracked into that. I didn't ask the most important question. 2-2, headed back to Boston. Giannis is not going to get Middleton back for help here in this game 5. Is the advantage now with the Celtics in this best of 7?
Advantages with the Celtics, number one, they have home court. And number two, I think we're seeing a toll build now on Giannis with the absence of Chris Middleton. And Drew Holiday has really struggled in these 4 games. And they just don't have anybody else on their team to generate offense.
Holiday's not meant to be the second scorer consistently every night. He gave it to them in game 3. But it doesn't seem like that's the role that really suits him.
But he's going to be a lot better than he's been. I really believe that. Yeah, Drew Holiday's a better offensive player than he's showing right now.
Absolutely.
And I do think that Giannis Antetokounmpo's greatness. I mean, to me, what he did last year psychologically, going into a situation like this, he's in a completely different place than he would have been prior to last postseason.
Once upon a time, LeBron went into Boston in a game that his team needed to win and had one of those magical, enormous, unforgettable nights, right, that game 6. Let's see if Giannis can come up with that in the game 5. Meanwhile, let's go to the other game last night. This is in San Francisco at Grizzlies and Warriors. You know about all the bad blood there, but actually, Ja Morant unfortunately not playing, but he does dap up Jordan Poole before the game, so they seem to be all good. Mike Brown coaching the Warriors because, by the way, Steve Kerr has the coronavirus. He's in health and safety protocols. All right, 4th quarter. Warriors down 8. Curry leading the comeback. And JJ, he did it from inside and out.
No, he was phenomenal in the 4th quarter here. I love this little pin down for him. Quick release. Dylan Brooks having to chase him all night. Maybe that took its toll on Dylan Brooks' offense. But Steph was just fantastic in the 4th quarter.
Legs from the outside. Steph's patented moves inside and out.
This right here. I mean, he's practically falling down, puts his hand on the ground, goes through a step back with two guys draped on him. And then this, to me, this is one of the worst shots I've seen in the postseason. The timing of that shot selection by Dylan Brooks really, I think, prevented his team from having a legitimate chance to win because Curry gets 2 free throws on the other end.
Yes, he fouls Curry coming down the other way with the Warriors down by 1. The fans were nervous, but Steph would make both. He would score 32. Grizzlies looking to respond. Offensive foul, or at least a loose ball foul. The push there by Desmond Bane. No one complained. Seemed to be a good call. Final chance for the Grizzlies. And Draymond comes up with a big defensive play. The block on Jaren Jackson Jr. Draymond is fired up, and the Warriors are up 3-1. Hey, Draymond, how about your guy, Steph?
Steph Curry showed why he is Steph Curry for all the disrespect out there. He showed why he's Steph Curry. Guys played big basketball down the stretch, winning basketball, and we made plays on both ends to take the game.
All right, again, Steph with 18 in the fourth, his second most in any fourth quarter of his postseason career. He personally outscored the Grizzlies over the final 8 minutes of the game. He outscored them 10-8 in clutch time. I feel a need to quickly repeat, is there Steph Curry disrespect out there of which I'm completely unaware? It is my perception that he is the most respected and most beloved player in the entire sport. Is there something I'm missing here?
I haven't heard it. I don't know where that's coming from. You find ways to motivate yourself any way you can, and that's, I think, what Draymond Green was alluding to right there. But I certainly haven't heard Steph Curry get disrespected.
Look, this is the modern athlete. It's very easy to find disrespect. Yeah. I'm sure there's some national media member somewhere that has disrespected him. But all you got to do is log on your phone. You can find hate. I always used to joke with teammates. I'd be like, you know LeBron? He's the best player in the world.
Right.
He has haters.
Oh, my God.
So relax, guy.
But he has a lot more, I think, than Steph. Steph, I think, is just sort of universally loved. One way or another, he was brilliant last night. Let's put that part of it beside us. And I feel like in this Western Conference now, where the Suns have managed to find themselves in a situation where they may be staring at seven tough games, and they don't have the best player on the floor in their series. They have the better team than Dallas, but the best player is on the other side. I said if the Warriors could make quick work of the Grizzlies here, and it's horrible that Ja is not playing, but suddenly it feels like the Warriors may be sneaking into the driver's seat to win the West, and actually Caesars, as you see their legs now, says Golden State's the favorite to win the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, any way you look at it out West, there's questions about all these teams right now, even Phoenix. The year that they had, the way that they just played the last two games, right? So everybody's trying to figure this out. I think the Warriors can and will win the entire thing, but you know, look, it's just my opinion. It's very subjective, but clearly to win a game in which you play that poorly and you struggle to shoot to that extent, and Memphis played good defense, but they missed a lot of clean looks. If Clay and Steph shoot like that on a given night, and Jordan Poole isn't what he's been lately, and they still find a way to win the game, for me, that actually backs up the argument that the Golden State Warriors can win it all.
Yeah, I think they are more than capable. I still think that Suns-Warriors series, if that's what it ends up being, is going to be fantastic. You know, the lesson for me in this series is really the I don't want to say youth, I don't want to say inexperience, but the lack of experience in late-game execution for the Memphis Grizzlies. You go back to Klay Thompson's game winner on that inbounds play, just awful communication. He comes off naked because Jaren Jackson's all the way in the paint tracking a different cut. Last night, Dylan Brooks with the shot selection with 40-some seconds. And not even just that. Steph brings it down the court. They don't get matched up in transition with 40 seconds to go and Steph coming down on the court and he's able to get downhill and get fouled. So I think as much as we talk about the Warriors' greatness, to me, some of this is the Memphis Grizzlies got to figure out how to execute late in games.
Let's give them a little love. I mean, there was a time in the NBA where you learned that by losing,
yes.
Right? I mean, this is what's supposed to happen. We are seeing the ascension of a really good young team with Morant, who is going to be an MVP type of player, and Jackson, who was young, and so many of these young players. In the era before, superstars just got on the phone and decided we're all going to go play together someplace in a geographically desirable location. It used to be this way. The teams would sort of come along, and they take their lumps, and they learn, and next year the Grizzlies will be among the favorites, I think, to win the whole thing.
You would think, but also some of the things we thought were certainties about this team, now you start to wonder. Like, the Desmond Bain is really struggling. He had a great year. I mean, this is a guy that really emerged, far better offensive player than anybody thought he could be at the NBA level. He has really struggled in the postseason, so he's going to have to answer that bell at some point. Like, that's the next progression for him. Dylan Brooks was a critical part of what this team has done for the last several years, was great all year last year, great in the postseason, great in the regular season this year, has completely disappeared offensively for them. So they still have boxes to check, much like the Bucks did before they won a championship, and they did that. Now we're going to look at Memphis a little bit differently going into next season. We got to see where else is that going to come from besides Ja.
That's another thing that happened in the 80s and the 90s, but teams would sort of, they'd increase, they'd improve, they'd knock on the door, and they'd finally kick the door in. We sort of have skipped a few steps in the more recent years. All right, these guys stay close by. We have more to get to, including James Harden. What has changed so dramatically for Harden? And is the Heat now on the Heat as they head to Miami for tonight's Game 5? We're talking about it. Plus, Tom Brady, we have breaking news about his future after football. You'll still be seeing him on Sundays. We'll explain right after this. It's Get Up on ESPN. on Get Up with breaking news. Tampa Bay Buccaneers legendary quarterback Tom Brady has agreed to join Fox Sports as its lead NFL analyst whenever he stops playing.
Wow.
Fox made that announcement just a few minutes ago. Brady will be calling games with Kevin Burkhardt whenever it is that that day comes. That's obviously a vacancy that comes with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman coming here. And Tom Brady tweeted, excited, but a lot of unfinished business on the field with the Buccaneers. Hashtag LFG. Someone will explain to me what that means later. But anyway, let's dive into this a minute. This is not usual, right? Like, players don't usually announce what they're planning on doing when their careers are over while their careers are not yet over. But I guess nothing about Tom Brady is usual.
I think he just likes to add more fuel to the fire. So we continue to talk on this show. When is Tom Brady done? When is he retiring? So basically, we can all look forward to seeing him in the booth in 2047. So I look forward to that.
Kevin Burkhardt will have retired. And Kevin is like in his 30s. He will have retired before Tom Brady winds up getting into that booth. Boog, how about it? What do you think about this? Brady making this announcement. You're down there in Tampa. What do you think?
Yeah, Greeny, a couple of things. This is kind of the new trend. Remember, Drew Brees kind of did the same thing with NBC. That's number one. Number two, it brings up the old phrase, Greeny, everybody has a number. I just wonder what that number was that the Murdoch family offered to Tom Brady, who has everything in life, to come and call NFL football games. And then lastly, Greeny, Tom Brady never, ever, ever wants to go in car line again and drop his kids off, because he is lined up to do everything he can, never, ever to be at home again. That 1 month at home sold Brady on domestic life is not for him. Yeah. He wants to stay busy.
Nobody dislikes their family more than Tom Brady. It sounds so terrible to say it that way, because
that's not
the truth. That's
not what we mean.
It's not the truth.
But I think it is an interesting point, Dominique, because it's sort of a window into how this guy got to be this guy, which is to say, football's just in his blood, and he's not quitting it, and it's not quitting him, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, honestly. Like, all jokes aside, he must be thinking about it happening soon. I don't think he'd be making these plans if it wasn't something that was going to happen soon. But it may just be all the money they're throwing at him, like Booger said. But I think Tom Brady has a level of credibility that could allow him to do something a little bit interesting in the booth, whereas many people in media have to walk inside some lines. But who's going to second guess Tom Brady if he loosens up a little bit and gives us a little personality? I'm not sure that we've seen it yet. I'm not sure how much personality he actually has. But if anybody has the latitude to give us some more fun in the booth, it could be Tom Brady, and I hope he does that.
Well, and I mean, there's the fun piece of it, and then there's the insightful piece of it. I mean, between Romo and Aikman and these guys, you get that insight that, with no disrespect to our defensive linemen and our cornerbacks, there's just the way that the quarterbacks see these games sometimes that I think are just a little bit different.
The competition in the booth now with these quarterbacks just went up a level, right?
That's right.
Tony Romo's sitting there, like, getting a little bit more nervous watching extra film, knowing Brady's coming for him here. But, Mike, you say, you know, Brady's got football in his blood.
Yeah.
It's so much more than that. It's not just in his blood. This is his entire life. This is somebody who we thought was going to step away from the game. He has shared. It's something his wife Giselle has wanted him to do, to spend more time. And Booger, you can speak on this better than any of us. How time-consuming it is to call games, the preparation, the phone calls, the meetings, the emails, popping on these shows. Who knows what he's going to have to do? So this isn't just a side hustle job he's going to do in between some modeling campaigns. He's legit going to have to be all in. And here's the thing. He's going to be all in. Tom Brady doesn't do anything at the highest, most elite level. So he's going to be phenomenal. Otherwise, he wouldn't do it.
Right, Bud?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, I'm just glad, Greeny, because everybody's got a price. And so I don't want to ever hear anybody say, man, Everybody has enough money because everyone has a price, including the GOAT. He's got a price, and at some point that number is going to come out. And my gut feeling, Greeny, tells me that number is going to be north of $50 million a year. And oh, we'll all know why Tom Brady is going to leave Giselle and the kids at home to go call games.
Wow. You know what, Nick? It actually does bring up a whole other thing. We could do a fundamental list on who is the best all-time quarterback now calling games on national television, right? We start putting them, slotting them in there. You got Brady, you got Troy. We're debating Troy versus Tony Romo. Drew Brees, where does he belong on the list? It's a perfect segment for us. It's waiting to happen.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Brees, I think, has the highest potential to improve is the best way to put that. But I do think that also your point about quarterbacks is a terrible one. Like, you just made the point. We have quarterbacks in all the booths. The last thing we need is a quarterback's perspective one more time. Don't we want to learn something else about football other than what the quarterback's looking at? What coverage checks we're doing? What line stunts we're doing? Why we're doing certain things in certain situations defensively? Now, that is fun. Not talking about reading pressures and throwing the stupid
ball. That's called
ball
a job pitch right there. That's what that is.
That'll be on the Foxworth cast. It'll be coming soon to a network near you. In the meantime, I want you all to see this. This was the celebration of the night last night. It was the performance of the night, but it was the celebration on the back end that we like. So top of nine, Guardians are down 8-4, bases loaded with two outs in the ninth. And Josh Naylor, who already had driven in a run in this game, drives in four on the first pitch that ties the game at 8, but wait, he's not done. Top of 11, tied at 9. Naylor up again. Naylor out again. Ooh. Naylor nails it. A go-ahead three-run home run. He drove in 8 runs in the game from the 8th inning on. But Diana, look at the celebration. Watch this. Come on. Get fired up. Get excited. Throw it. Throw the helmet. Throw the helmet.
Get psycho on us.
What do you think?
I think that's the appropriate celebration. In fact, I think he could have gone all the way. Just get up on the dugout there to celebrate. It is worth it for everything he just accomplished.
Nick, how about
fantastic.
It?
Oh, man. You cannot fake that emotion. It feels very football-like. I love it. I wish he would turn it up a little more. I wish they all would do that a little more often.
He drove in 8 runs from the 8th inning on in the game last night as the Guardians hand the White Sox a devastating loss. All right, as we continue, the Celtics take a big punch from Giannis and then respond in an even bigger way. Is Boston now on its way to a title? We're talking about it. Plus, the beard is back on the beach. James Harden looking like a completely different player. What has changed? Will it continue tonight? Those are the questions. We'll have the answers next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
As the NBA playoffs advance, we know a couple of things. Stars will shine and the tension will mount. Get Up has the voices telling you what each win and loss means and how the biggest names are affected. Get Up, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on ESPN.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, the game of the night, that right there might have been the moment of the night between that man, the Greek freak, Giannis, and Al Horford. It takes place right here in a game that the Bucks had a 4-point lead. We're early in the second half. Giannis dunking and then giving Horford the business. He's looking at him. He's saying something. He gets a technical for it, and Horford says, all right, I'll remember that. And Tim Legler, he seemed to.
He did, and on the closeout by Giannis, you take a look. He kind of surprises Giannis. Giannis thinks he's going to stop for a pull-up jumper right there. One more step and he strides, dunks, and then that left arm, is it incidental or it looks like just dental, actually, on the part of Giannis Antetokounmpo?
That's exactly right. One way or another, J.J. Redick, it was a great performance from Al Horford and an equally great one from Jason Tatum.
Oh, Jason Tatum was phenomenal in closing out this game. Those two guys are the reason the Celtics were able to get this win. That shot right there is tough.
Tatum scored 30. Horford scored 30. They combined for 28 in the fourth. And the Celtics have evened up the series, and they've made themselves, in the eyes of Caesars Sportsbook, the favorites to come out of the East just ahead of the Heat. So the two teams that have home court advantage in the East now are favored to come out. That obviously makes sense at this moment. Remember, the Heat are the one seed, so if those two were to advance, Miami would have home court advantage there, one way or the other. Let's sort of take a snapshot of this series where we stand. Dead even between two really good teams. The Bucks doing it without their star. Chris Middleton, Giannis, maybe looks like he's getting a little worn down. Celtics have home court advantage now, and Tatum plays big. Where do we sit right now in this one, 2-2?
Yeah, this series so far in this postseason, like, this is the headline act, right? Everything else was a warm-up act because of how good these two teams are, but they're so complete. Right now, you've got to give the edge to Boston. They did what they had to do in winning this game, or their backs are really against the wall, but you're going home. You're a higher seed. You've got to win now two games at home. You don't have to win any more road games, and so you have to give the edge to Boston for that reason, and also the way, you know, that Tatum answered the bell the way he played in game three. That's an enormous step for Jason Tatum and his progression as a superstar in this league. Al Horford's been great the entire time. Look, I still think Giannis Antetokounmpo has the ability to go be the best player on the floor in game five and give them a chance to win and go home, potentially close it out. We know if it gets to a game seven, statistically, the numbers do not favor the road team, right, by a wide margin. So that's what Milwaukee has to try to avoid. Go get this next one.
Yeah, you love BPI. I know, JJ, our basketball power index, our analytics. They say basically the Celtics have an 80% chance to win. What do you think?
Greeny, did it sound like Legs is wavering on his Bucks pick a little bit?
He's not wavering.
A little bit like it. No, I think the biggest issue, we're seeing a toll that has taken on Giannis, specifically with offensive production. Look, Drew Holiday and Wes Matthews have been phenomenal defensively. But frankly, they haven't got efficient offense from anyone outside of Giannis. Drew has really struggled from the field in this series, and no one else on their team is really capable of generating good half-court offense.
And it looks like the Celtics made an adjustment. Game one, we sat here talking on that played that game on a Sunday. We were in here on Monday morning. We were talking about how the size of the Bucks inside was impacting Boston's ability to get shots and all that. Maybe it was just a day where the shots didn't go down, because since that time, the Celtics have not looked thoroughly uncomfortable. They're both good defensive teams, but candidly, the Celtics have looked like the better team for three of the four games.
I would agree with that, but I also think that Budenholzer and Giannis have to take a look at the film from game four, because I thought game three, one of the things I said about Giannis was he operated more like a power forward or a center. He was catching the ball in much more advantageous positions without having to work as hard. He reverted back to looking more like a point guard last game. And when he does that, you now have five sets of eyes loaded up on you. All vision is on you. You're bringing it to bodies. When he was catching the ball at 12 to 15 feet with his back to the basket, for the majority of the game, you saw what he did to overwhelm these physical defenders with his length. So I think they'll go back and make that adjustment, make it a little bit easier for Giannis where he's catching it. I thought he worked too hard for what he got last night.
I tell you what, the Bucks need, and this is, they need their second best player, right? They need,
yeah.
If
that helps.
Middleton is on the floor, this would be an entirely different series, and I'll keep saying it. People think that I'm disrespecting the Bucks. I mean, we live in a world where anything you say is good. I'm not disrespecting them at all. If you took Jaylen Brown off of the Celtics, they wouldn't be winning this series. They've taken the second best player, is not on the floor, and if he doesn't come back, the Celtics are going to win.
And I wasn't disrespecting Drew Holiday earlier.
There you go.
I love him as a player, but he's better suited as the third option, with Chris Middleton being the second option, especially when you get to the fourth quarter. We watched their playoff run last year. You get to closing time, it is a 3-5 pick and roll or a 3-5 dribble handoff with Giannis and Chris Middleton. That is their closing set, and they really miss that right now. The other thing I would say is, you know, against certain teams, I think without Chris Middleton, the Bucks have a much better chance of winning. The Celtics just have so much size at every position. They need that big wing, and they just don't have it right now.
I will just remind everybody, if you didn't pay close attention to the season, that in December, the Celtics were under 500. And the conversation was, do they need to break up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown for everybody's good? And now here they are. We're all kind of saying they look like the best team in the NBA as we are in the middle of May. That's a remarkable turn. Whether they win, why are you smiling at me like that? Do you not think that?
Well, here's the one thing I will say, though. All right, you're making that very, very declarative, definitive statement.
They look the way, right now better than anybody.
That statement is very disrespectful to the Milwaukee Bucks. But no, here's what I'm saying.
It's disrespectful to the Suns. It's disrespectful to the Mavs. Come on, man.
But despite all of that, Green, Boston Celtics were down 12 in the third quarter last night.
Right.
Okay, so I'm saying if Milwaukee gets some stops last night at a key time and they win that game, you're certainly not making that statement today. That's how razor thin the margin is between these two teams, and they still have the best player, the Milwaukee Bucks, and that's why I still think they've got a great chance to win this series.
To Greeny's point, though, about the Celtics looking like the best team, when you look at all the other matchups, this – In the second round, this is two heavyweights.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it does feel
yeah
like whoever wins this series will win the East and have a great chance of winning the NBA championship.
I know, Legler jumps me for no reason. I was making it.
Now you're disrespecting me. This is just a show of disrespect.
Right. Let's do a little more or less. We got two huge games on the schedule tonight. Let's figure out what people are going to do. Hey, Legs, Chris Paul going to have more or less than 16.5 points in Game 5 tonight.
Gonna smash that. I can't believe that number's that low. I have a lot of faith Chris Paul is going to be sensational in Game 5, but I don't think that number is nearly as important as the number of threes that Dallas is getting. That's where Monty Williams needs to focus more than anything else. I'm not worried about Chris Paul.
Chris Paul coming off really back-to-back tough nights in Dallas. JJ, as far as the other side, Luka, 32.5 is the number, more or less, for him tonight.
You're asking me if Luka's going to have an average game.
Right.
I'm going to take the more on this, and I think the strategy going forward in the series, if I'm the Phoenix Suns, is less help coverage, more one-on-one. If Luka goes for 40 to 45 like he did in Game 1 and 2 and you win, that's the strategy. It's not allowing everyone else like Dorian Finney-Smith and Jalen Brunson to get off.
And then how about the other game tonight? We got Philly at Miami. Legs, James Harden, 20.5 is the number, more or less.
I'll go over on that. I don't know that he's going to have a great shooting night necessarily, but I do think he's going to get to the line enough, and he will get, you know, a couple layups mixed in, a couple of threes, and gets to the line 10 times. Boom, there's your 20 points. And if he has a good shooting night, then he's going to be obviously closer to 30 points. So I think James Harden felt a sense of relief the way he played in the last game, and I think that carries over and has a pretty good Game 5.
Well, look, I mean, this really does feel like the overwhelming question. We began this postseason saying that there were more eyes on, more pressure on James Harden to play big than anybody. And it's been a roller coaster, and frankly, not all of it has been pretty. But that performance the other night, I think, gave people hope. I don't know what the word is exactly. But can he replicate that? Can the Sixers figure out a way to put him in position to be that kind of impactful again tonight?
Can he replicate it? Yeah, my expectation is that he will not replicate it. I don't think that version of James Harden that we got used to in Houston, that's not who he is right now. He hit 4 step-back threes in Game 4. That's the most he's hit in a Philly uniform. He still was 2-for-8 from twos. He's still going to have trouble finishing. I do think the three-pointer unlocks everything, and those shots look great. But he is right now a 20-and-10 guy, not a 30-and-10 guy.
Let me actually, because if you see the question there, can Harden replicate his Game 4 performance? I'm sitting here thinking as JJ is talking, Legs, is this about Harden having a big night, or is it just about them needing someone to have a big night? Which is to say, could Tyrese Maxey be the guy who gives you that game tonight? Is that enough? Does Embiid just need one member of the supporting cast to win this game tonight in Miami?
Assuming we know what we're going to get from Joel Embiid and pencil in certain numbers, and I think we're all comfortable in thinking that he's going to do that, and Tobias Harris is going to be solid. So then it comes down to those other two guards. As long as one of those guys is very good to great somewhere in that area, the other guy can be okay, and they're going to win the game. So that's what it comes down to. Now the question is, do they start to now defend Harden a little bit differently? Is Eric Spoelstra going to react to that a certain way that allows now those skip passes to Maxey to have more room against closeout defenders, and he's one of the quickest guys in the league. Now maybe Maxey has that big night. Even though Harden's numbers are down, they still win because of the adjustment to what he did in Game 4. That's the fascinating thing for me going in. How are they going to defend Harden tonight, and what does that mean for Maxey?
I actually think they shouldn't make an adjustment. I think you play the numbers here, because we saw early in that Toronto series, they loaded up to James Harden. Their help defenders were literally 5-6 feet off Maxi, and he absolutely torched that coverage. Mm-hmm. So I think you say, James, you haven't been an efficient scorer for the last 2 or 3 months. Let's see if you can beat us doing that.
That really has been the point. Like, we came into this saying, will there be a moment where this guy or that guy wins a playoff game for you? He's now won them one playoff game. They need at least one more from him. Do we believe Embiid will continue to get better? I'm just thinking this through. He gets more and more comfortable playing with the mask. He gets further removed from the concussion. He gets back into a little bit more of playing shape after having to spend basically a week sitting in a dark room. I mean, all the other stuff you deal with in concussion protocol. Do we believe that as it goes forward, Embiid should continue to get better?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think the other thing that you didn't put in there, you know, just your tentativeness when you come back from something like that, right? You're just not yourself in terms of going in there really mixing it up.
Right.
The mask was affecting his shooting. He had some really bad misses in that first game back. You could tell he immediately went to the mask. It was bothering him. Each game that gets more comfortable, each game you're less worried about getting hit in the face. You can impose your will and your physical dominance on this series. But for me, look, it comes down to this. Is Miami going to make shots at some point? Are you going to make three-point shots at some point to help Jimmy Butler? And if they do, I still think the Heat are going to win the series.
I'm going to ask the question on behalf of all the Heat fans that I'm hearing from on Twitter constantly. Where is Duncan Robinson? This man who began his career at Williams College has now become like the most important person in this entire series. Eric Spoelstra has buried him on the bench. Yeah. He can make The one thing we know we can do is make shots, and they can't right now. Will we see him tonight?
I think you will. And if you look at a lot of possessions defensively for the Heat in this series, they are playing essentially a matchup zone. Philly's ran a ton of zone as well. So if you're going to not have him on the court because he's a defensive liability, as maybe they think, you can play him if you're running a zone. Like, they need shooting on the court. They need help. As you mentioned, Jimmy Butler, frankly, has been one of the two or three best players in these playoffs. He's been phenomenal in both rounds. He needs more help, and they got to get consistent shooting on the floor.
I just want to tag that real quick. If you think that Duncan Robinson is that much of a defensive liability, you can't play him in important playoff games, how in the world do you give him $90 million last summer? You paid him for what he does well, value what he does well. It's the coaching staff's job and it's his teammates' job to protect him from his weaknesses. The guy can have an absolute stamp on this series the next three games, but I don't know. We're all wondering, what's he going to do tonight? Because they were 5 for 29 amongst their role players from the three-point line.
All right, we'll see what they wind up doing tonight. In the meantime, fellas, you're going to like this. It's time for your morning wake-up call after the Panthers evened up their NHL series with the Capitals last night with an overtime goal. Listen to this from Steve Goldstein, Bally Sports, Florida. Take it away.
Play to the Panther blue, it's Ekblad. Up ahead, Verhaeghe off the bench. Moving in, Verhaeghe shooting, save, rebound, Verhaeghe. Let's go home, baby! They win it in overtime! Carter Verhaeghe has tied the series at 2 apiece.
Awesome action on this road to the Stanley Cup, and we continue to be your home every single night, every single game. 4 Game 5s coming your way tonight. You see, we alternate the times there on ESPN and ESPN2. Bruins, Hurricanes, Lightning, Leafs, those are the early games. Then the Wild and the Blues, the Kings and the Oilers. You can watch all the action, and you can also see it all on the ESPN app. All right, coming up, it is scheduled release week in the NFL. We have a big matchup just announced this morning involving two superstar quarterbacks. We're talking about it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
The NFL season is never done. This week on Get Up, we will dive into who's playing who as the 2022 schedules are released. We'll reveal all the key games for the NFL's biggest stars, like Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady, on Get Up, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on ESPN.
That's us. And earlier this morning, as we are getting the little bits of, like, little dribbles of NFL scheduling news, the whole schedule is coming out on Thursday. But Shefty tweeting, an early Christmas present, Broncos Rams will play Christmas Day late in the afternoon on CBS and on Nickelodeon. And those are two fascinating teams. Obviously, the Rams, the defending Super Bowl champions, Russell Wilson, now an expat from that division, if you will, over in Denver. So I ask you, Dominique Foxworth, Super Bowl preview, Rams and Broncos on Christmas Day. Who says no? Who says no to that being a preview of the Super Bowl?
I wouldn't be mad if it was one. That'd be really fun. I think Diana earlier brought up adding Bobby Wagner to that defense. That seems like the third future Hall of Famer they have on that defense. That team is going to be really, really good. I think if one team does not make it to the Super Bowl from this matchup, it's got to be the Broncos. The AFC West alone has four potential Super Bowl contenders in it, not to mention all the other AFC teams that could make it to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be a long road for the Broncos, but if Russ can go back to his best version of himself and sustain it for an entire season, it certainly is a possibility.
Booger, looked like you were raising your hand.
Crooked fingers.
Yeah, Greeny, because I think this is not going to be a Super Bowl preview. I think the Bills are the best team in football right now. They're from the AFC, and I think if you look from the NFC side, I think you have to look at the Rams. So I would lean toward a Rams-Bills Super Bowl before I lean toward a Rams-Broncos. It's amazing how high we are on the Broncos, especially since we haven't seen this group together, and we're just assuming Russell Wilson is going to be great, and you can just plug that quarterback in, and this team is going to pick up and all of a sudden be a Super Bowl contender. I have my doubts, okay? Yeah. I think the Bengals are going to be right there. The Bucks, the Packers, like there's so many teams, but on today, as we're 2 days from the schedule release, I think the favorites would have to be Rams on the NFC side, Bills on the AFC side.
Set them straight, Diana.
Haters, haters. Come on. How do you not have any energy towards Russell Wilson joining this Broncos team? We're 2 years removed from him throwing 40 touchdowns. 40.
Yeah.
You know, so this is someone who I think with the right mix. Look, Nathaniel Hackett, I get it. First year head coach. He did pretty well calling the offense in Green Bay with a guy named Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. where he had back-to-back MVP season. So here he is now taking of the Broncos with the superior defense. He's got weapons. I don't think it's a long shot. Do I think it's realistic? Probably not. I'm with Booger there. But it could happen. The Bengals went to the Super Bowl last year. They had 1,000-to-1 odds to make it, and they went.
Go ahead, Nate.
We've seen it the last couple seasons. Like future Hall of Fame, all-star, or all-pro type of quarterback switches teams to what looks like a better roster, and then that team makes a run into the Super Bowl and wins the Super Bowl. So it's not crazy to see that happening for Russell also.
So those guys elevate the level of people that are around them.
Yes.
We've heard that already coming out of Denver. The Broncos are going to be better, I think, than some people are suggesting. Now, the best argument against them is that the division is the division and the conference
yes,
like a murderer's
row. He named his dog Bronco. That's why they're going to win. As soon as you do that.
In the meantime, did everybody see this? Neek, you in particular are going to find this fascinating. The mayor of Dallas tweeted in response. So there's a question, right? Someone posed the question out there, which city deserves an expansion team? Eric Johnson is the mayor of Dallas, and he tweeted, football is king here. Dallas needs an expansion team. We would be able to sustain two NFL teams better than LA or New York. And by the way, he didn't just tweet that and run off to other things. He stayed on Twitter responding to people and liking tweets that were agreeing with him. Dominique, I'm trying to imagine the conversation in Jerry Jones' house when someone brought word of this to him. What do you think?
Forget the conversation in Jerry Jones' head. If I'm that mayor, I'm up in my Secret Service immediately. Jerry Jones does not want any competition in that area for that money. And I would guess that most of the people in Dallas, like, they're real Cowboys fans. I imagine if they add another team, it might be like a Clippers-Lakers situation. I'm not sure they could support another non-Cowboys team in Dallas. I'm not sure they want to. I'm sure they're capable. I'm not sure they want to.
Dom, you're missing what I think is going to be the story if they have another team. Jerry Jones is going to own that team as well. So he'll have two of those teams in his city. So that's how that's going to work. So Jerry's actually sitting there going, you know what? This is a good idea. More money for me.
You know, it's interesting. One of the points the mayor made, I went back and looked at it all, Booger, because I was fascinated by this. And he tweeted, and I assume this is true, I don't know it, that Dallas is about to surpass Chicago as the third biggest metro area in the country. So that would make them the biggest city in the country that didn't have two NFL teams, New York and Los Angeles being the other. So that was his rationale, Booger. Again, I'm not sure how that will fly with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Yeah, Greeny, I have no idea about the metropolitan city growth or any of that, nor how the politics are going to work from the mayor standing on his soapbox on Twitter saying, hey, we could support another team. Here's what I do know. Jerry Jones has made a living making money and marketing everything in Dallas related to the Dallas Cowboys. There is no way, absolutely zero way in hell he is going to lose that right. The only way he may allow this, if as Nick and Dinah said, if he owned both teams, then maybe he could do it. But he couldn't run both teams, so I doubt he want to own two of them.
Nick, give me a final
controversy?
Word.
I mean, is there a controversy surrounding this mayor or something? Is he trying to distract us? What is he doing? He's trying to get us to look the other way? I need to look into this, figure out what's happening.
Tell him to come to New York. We'll take a third team if they can win.
I need to figure something out about what. All right, we'll have much more on this as we go. And then a reminder, as always, First Take is coming up top of the hour. Are the Bucks asking too much from Giannis? And can Harden, Embiid, and the Sixers win the East? First Take, top of the hour. Molly, Stephen A., JJ, and Legs. Here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Saturday on ESPN Plus. Don't miss what could be a classic FA Cup final. Chelsea, Liverpool at Wembley. Coverage begins 11:25 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus. Kickoffs at 11:45. Dominique, this is Nick Chubb squatting 675 pounds. Looks like the bar might snap over his shoulder. What do you think?
Yeah, the bar's not built to hold that. Like, you're not supposed to be able to do that. It's outrageous. Like, that is the weight of a vending machine. I looked this up. That is the weight of a 20-foot boat. It's not okay. Don't do it.
Greeny's got a hernia just watching this thing go down. Jameis Winston, your move, right? I mean, he's always the one out there showing what he can do.
We will see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.
We're back.